Good morning. It is so good to see you all here this morning. Before I get started, let me just emphasize that both countries that I grew up in, that was a long time ago, and both countries have changed a lot. But these are my personal experience when I was there. Indonesia is the largest island country in the world. Over 14,000 islands are scattered around the equator. Someone compared it to a necklace of jade. There are two seasons, dry and wet. They're both hot. But the country is so rich in abundant resources that it was a very desirable territory. The Portuguese, the English, and the Dutch all fought over being the boss there, and the Dutch were the victors. It was a Dutch territory for over 300 years, and the Dutch named it the Dutch East Indies. The population is 90% Muslim, and it consists actually over 1,300 different ethnic groups. So their national motto, and we as Unitarians would like that, is unity in diversity. The seat of government is in Jakarta, on the most populous island, Java. And if you go down a little bit to the southeast, you see a city called Bandung. It's in the mountains. And that's where I was born, on Pearl Harbor Day. My mother was a petite woman, and at 11 pounds, I was a big baby. After a long labor, I decided to turn and greet the world with that aunt. Was complicating matters, and the doctor had to break my leg to get me out. So when my mother came to, my father was standing on one side of the bed in battle dress, and I was on the other side with my leg in traction. My father said to her, "Japan has declared war. We have a beautiful baby girl, but they had to break her leg. I have to go. But the staff calls her our first war casualty." My mother broke out in tears. My father was imprisoned and sent to Burma to work for the railroad for the Japanese, and Japanese prisoner of war camp. For those of you who remember Bridge Over the River Kwai, that's how it was, except for the singing and the whistling and the clothes. At the end, when they were rescued, all they had was loincloths. My mother and all the women, including me, were in camp in town. The women had to work in the fields, and the pretty young women were all gathered in special houses and served as comfort wives for the Japanese. After my dad came back from the war, life slowly returned to normal. My mother went back to teaching, my father served in the army, and played piano in the big band orchestra in the largest hotel. They played tennis and had dances and played bridge, and I soon had a sister and a brother. But growing up in Indonesia was magical. My parents were too busy to pay any attention to me, and that was great. I had hardly any restrictions, and I couldn't wait every day to come home and take my school uniform off and put on my play clothes, hop on my bike, and go barefoot all day and go to the boys next door who were even more adventurous than I was. We played all kinds of games. We used the banana trees for target practice for our knives. We made our own kites that we flew, and at least once a week we would go to the community pool to swim. If we wanted any fruit, we could just climb up a tree and get it. And if we wanted something to eat, we could go to either one of our houses where the housekeeper would get something very delicious. On Sunday we went to church with our family and then had dinner at my grandmother's. But we never had any Indonesian friends. We never saw them. They went to different schools. They lived outside the city limits. And their parents served in Dutch households as housekeepers and cooks and gardeners. They always wore traditional dress, the sarung kabaya, which was a white shirt with long sleeves and a sarong with batik. My parents were convinced that Indonesian culture was far inferior to their own. even though the Indonesian culture was much older, more sophisticated, and more beautiful, I think, than long before the Dutch became a country. But the colonial system was still firmly in place. But a big change was coming. After the Japanese left in 1945, Indonesia declared independence. But it actually took until 1949, until all the struggles were over and the Dutch recognized their independence. We were forced to move to the Netherlands. All Dutch citizens were. It was our fatherland, but it was a land that my parents had never seen. They could only take one crate with their belongings, but they tried to be positive and they were saying, it can't be that bad. You know, your dad has a job in the army. We all speak the same language. We all have the same nationality. So we boarded the ship. Well, the Dutch were not exactly overjoyed to see us. First of all, we were the first group from the colonies to arrive, and they were not used to seeing people with different skin color. Although we spoke the same language and wore the same clothes, they had never seen the darker skin tones and were very apprehensive. We were treated as displaced foreigners rather than co-Dutch people. The people who came from Dutch Indonesia actually were called Indos, which is a cute name, but you know, they were just called that. And when we would take public transportation, we could hear people hissing, apes, peanut sellers. We tried not to pay any attention to it, but one of our locations was in a small farm town. Now, if you can imagine Dutch wooden shoes on the cobblestones, that's a cute sound, not when they pursue you. For the first couple of days, I was followed by and chased by a group of kids, and they would back me up against the wall, and they would hiss names at me, and then they would spit on me. And then they would just turn away. I never cried, but I just got tired of it. And one day I punched one of them in the nose, and blood was all over, and they didn't follow me anymore, but we never became friends. We were in five different locations before the Dutch government finally found us a small three-bedroom flat. And that was in the town of Utrecht. That's where I grew up, you know, through high school. After living in the tropics, the weather for my parents was very hostile. And the Dutch had very different cultural habits. They are very fastidious and regimented people. And every day has a purpose. Monday is wash day. You boil the clothes all day long, and you beat them, and then you put them on the washboard, and then you rinse them, and you hang them out. And if the weather is good, then on Tuesday you spend the whole day ironing and so on and so forth. And on Friday, they would clean the whole outside of their house, including the sidewalk, so that everything would be gleaming for Saturday. The Indos, on the other hand, were a little bit more relaxed. And of course, they always had servants to do that kind of thing for them. So they concentrated more on cooking and socializing. My parents took two showers a day in the tropics. You had to. But the Netherlands didn't have, most of the houses didn't have any showers. So people would go once a week to the bathhouse to clean up, which my parents found a little strange. When we moved into our own apartment, things you think would get better, but they weren't. My parents were very depressed. My father got passed over for a job in the military, which he purely blamed on being the only colored person there. My mother could not find a job as a teacher. Finally found one in a gypsy camp outside the city in a one-room schoolhouse and never wanted us to come over. And we didn't know much about it except we got regular treatments for head lice. Two things. The situation at home was just really miserable. But two things saved me. Music and sports. My father played the piano every night, which was very healing for him as well as for us. I belonged to two choirs, and one of them actually was a traveling choir, and we had and that's how I met my first Americans. We had a performance at the Air Force Base, Soesterberg, and sang a Christmas program. And when we ended with Silent Night, in English, of course, Some of the young men were so homesick, and they were openly crying. But afterwards, they pulled out this big table with donuts and hot chocolate, and they were just so charming. So I had a very good impression of Americans at first. Sports in the Netherlands is not associated with school. You belong to a sports club, which is kind of nice. When you switch schools, you can still go to the same sports club. So I did track and field and European handball and especially volleyball. I was actually selected in high school to represent the Dutch nationality to play against Germany and Belgium. So I got a little traveling, so that would be great. I never had a problem much with studying. Came easy, and I always had good grades. So when it was time for me to choose college, I expressed a desire to become a kindergarten teacher. And my mother and I went to the school, and we sat down with the director, and she took a look at my excellent report card, and then she looked at us and said, we don't like to accept students from the islands. They are lazy and insolent. And my mother and I looked at each other and got up and left. But she actually did me a favor, a huge favor, because I got a scholarship to the college where I majored in education, and the dean of college was an amazing woman. She got my number right away. But she was so supportive, and she steered me into leadership situations where I was also very visible to the rest of the school. And by the end of the school year, I was elected student body president, and it did so much for my confidence. She changed my life with her kindness and understanding and generous time. So by the time I got my diploma, I thought I could take on the world. So the next year I left the Netherlands and came to the United States.